Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. Engine maker Rolls-Royce designed a new propulsion system for a flying taxi, which it says could take to the skies as soon as early next decade. Shoppers in the U.S. and elsewhere struggle to access Amazon's website as one of its biggest annual sales, Prime Day, went underway on Monday. A solar plane, which can stay aloft for weeks at a time, is to be manufactured by Airbus in the UK. And the Atari VCS console runs a custom Linux distro called Atari OS. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? Just because Jeff is confused doesn't mean you have to be. Visit cat5.tv/dreamhost to sign up for unlimited web hosting for your website with unlimited email accounts, MySQL databases, the latest version of PHP, WordPress, and more, and even a free domain name registration. It's less than $6 per month, so sign up today. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. Engine maker Rolls-Royce has designed a propulsion system for a flying taxi, which it says could take to the skies as soon as early next decade. The British firm said that it has drawn up plans for an electric vertical takeoff and landing vehicle, which could carry four to five people. They claim the vehicle could travel at speeds of up to 250 miles per hour for approximately 500 miles. Rolls joins a variety of other firms in seeking to develop flying vehicles. Speaking ahead of this week's Farnborough Air Show, Rob Watson, head of the company's electrical team, said, "We are well placed to play a leading role in the emerging world of personal air mobility and will also look to work in collaboration with a range of partners. Airbus, Uber, and a range of startups, including one called Kitty Hawk, which is backed by Google co-founder Larry Page, have all announced projects." So that means that we are going to have flying taxis.
It's really happening. They're actually building this stuff.
This is mind-boggling cool for me. And I'll tell you why. And it occurred to me, just kind of out of the blue, that it means that we could put less roads down if we had the flying cars.
You know, I've never had that thought. That's really interesting.
So it would save money, firstly, in infrastructure, but it also means less roads means more trees, which means more health to the earth, which is a huge big deal. Right?
Yeah.
If we
and I guess with autonomous vehicles being the next big thing, mm-hmm. they're going to know the coordinates of other flying taxis and things like that, or whatever they may be, right? This is just the start of it. I think that, like, thinking of how they've done, for example, drone demonstrations where they operate like a hive mind. And I think about implementing that kind of technology into autonomous vehicles, and now so flying autonomous vehicles, that allows them to know their positioning amidst other ones.
Right.
So you're right. You don't need roads, but, well, then how do they avoid crashing? Well, then you think about this autonomous ability to know the position of other vehicles.
Yeah, I mean,
emergency vehicles, able to get where they need to go fast.
Exactly. Like, it really would be great on so many levels.
I love it.
And early next decade, that's soon. I know that just means the start. It's not going to be common yet. But I feel like at some point they'll be able to scale back a lot of the construction work and a lot of the road work. And they'll be able to really start implementing some more things. I mean, if they did need to do a roadway, then it would be easy to do something like one of those solar roadways, right? Because they're going to have to put less money in. See? Good.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think it's a neat time too, because, like, we talk about this and it seems like, okay, this is far-fetched, sci-fi. No, we actually have the technology to do this now.
Yeah.
It could happen, and it's not just something out of the, you know, someone's imagination.
Somehow it seems very, very plausible to me. Like, it seems like it's going to happen. And it seems that way to Rolls Royce as well.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
So if they're doing it, you know, it's at least at some level is going to happen over the next little while.
I am going to buy one.
Are you? You just got a car.
Right.
You're already thinking about getting a flying car.
Well, my next car will be a flying car.
There you go.
It seems even Amazon can't quite handle its own success. Shoppers in the U.S. and elsewhere struggle to access Amazon's website as one of its biggest annual sales, Prime Day, went underway Monday. Many frustrated users took to social media to report the e-commerce platform had crashed and was showing them only an error message that read, "Sorry, something went wrong on our end." The issues were centered on the U.S., but affected users up here in Canada and overseas, too. DownDetector.com, which tracks outages, said the problems began shortly after the sale kicked off at 3 p.m. in the U.S. In a tweet, Amazon said it was working to resolve the issues. Remarkably, users even reported experiencing problems with Amazon's video streaming services and its virtual assistant, Alexa, during the first few hours of the sale as well. Amazon launched Prime Day in 2015, and by 2017, it was the second biggest shopping day, topped only by Cyber Monday. Some warned the glitches could make it hard to achieve the expected numbers. Global Data Retail Managing Director Neil Saunders said at the time, the outage is especially problematic as many of Amazon's Prime deals are promoted for a set window of time, something that could cause a great deal of frustration for potential customers. Prime Day ran for 36 hours and this year saw the largest number of people hitting the site at all at once in the history of the sale.
It really is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. So the sale was so well marketed this year. I don't remember ever getting as much communication from Amazon as I did.
And so, is it just me or is their AI getting so good that it figures out what we want?
Right.
And you can say that's creepy, but it's actually really good. Like, I got a really great deal on a device for the studio that I think is going to make a huge difference here.
Yeah. I know that they know me well, and I had to stay away from it because I'm really trying to stay on budget. But I was excited today more this year than I ever have been, even knowing I wasn't buying anything, because they really kept reminding me it was coming. They kept sending me some pictures and links of things, and I was
can't escape it, Sasha.
I know. So I definitely understand why they saw such high numbers and why interest, like, immediately the numbers probably caused the servers to, I don't know.
Part of the reason that they have these timed deals is to space out the usage.
Right.
Right? Because if they have, you know, a certain kitchen deal and a certain electronics deal and a certain clothing deal happening right now, and then an hour later, a different electronics deal and a different clothing deal, so that you don't have the same, like, everybody going there all at once as you do on, like, Black Friday or something like that at a retail store.
Right.
Because then it's all gone, right? So they tried to space things out. Mm-hmm. There were so many people shopping. It's just unbelievable. I haven't even seen the numbers yet, but we know that if their infrastructure itself was affected, then that's got to be massive.
Right. Well, I can imagine next year is going to be bigger than this year. Mm-hmm. And I imagine because they're very smart and they really want to focus experience, this won't be a problem next year.
You think so?
I think
technology will be there. Yeah. Amazon has an amazing cloud infrastructure. Mm-hmm. I mean, they sell their cloud infrastructure to other services. So to think that those services were quite possibly, I mean, people were reporting that some of these services were affected by Prime Day. So their own infrastructure of CDNs and whatever else, and virtualized servers and things like that are affected as well. So, you know, what do they do? Throw more power at it? Throw more storage? And
they'll do something. It'll be a news story before Prime Day next year, what they're going to do for Prime Day.
How do you make Amazon CDN bigger? How do you make it more powerful? It's got to happen.
It's going to.
It's going to have to.
If you can't beat them, join them. Folks claim that they will no longer be building an internet-toting drone may have been in the wording. They're working with Airbus, and Airbus will build it. Facebook recently retired Project Aquila, and it turns out that they've been collaborating with Airbus. According to Jana Rosenman, head of unmanned aerial systems at Airbus, the two companies have a joint goal to try and bring internet connectivity to connect the unconnected. The unmanned craft flies high in the atmosphere to avoid commercial air traffic. Known as the Zephyr, its remote sensing potential has already seen the UK MOD invest, but Airbus also hopes to develop the craft as a communication platform. Powered by solar energy during the day and solar charged batteries by night, the Zephyr holds the absolute endurance record for unrefueled aeroplanes, 336 hours, 22 minutes, and 8 seconds in the air. The latest model, the Zephyr S, is currently aloft above the skies of Arizona in the U.S., where Airbus aims to fly 3 days, breaking the vehicle's own 14-day record set in 2010. The Zephyr will immediately begin industrial production in Farnborough following several years of testing. Its inauguration was announced at the 2018 Farnborough Air Show.
It seems like a theme here that we're, you know.
Yeah. Now, this is huge and great. Because I'll tell you, when we found out that Facebook wasn't going to be doing... I was worried a little bit about Project Loon, which sounds weird, but I thought to myself, well, now there's no competition, right? Project Loon does a really great job with their balloons, and they have really helped out, but I want there to be a lot of...
fair competition, sure.
Exactly.
I mean, these are all big dogs, right? But there's got to be more than just one player in the atmosphere, for sure.
Exactly. So this is great.
The way that they did kind of announce that they were shutting down Aquila, it made it sound like it was over. It was done. It was not happening. And then you see this new project, and it looks identical practically.
Yeah.
The drones look the same, these solar-powered planes. So it's almost as if, you know, they've just known all along that this is the way they were going to go, and they were helping with development.
Yeah, they knew. So, our emotions. Yeah.
And for those of you who are not aware of the kinds of things that are happening surrounding these types of projects, what they're trying to do and what they are achieving, and you mentioned Project Loon, and they have achieved, is putting aerial systems up in the sky that can deliver internet at places where internet is not available. So think about if a hurricane goes through, or a tsunami, or something infrastructure.
Right.
So now, you know, that you've got the inability to have access to the internet, which these days is our communication. When our internet went down here at the studio, I also, incidentally, had no phone, because my phone is also voice over IP.
Right.
You called me today.
That's true.
And how did you call me?
Over the internet.
Through the internet. My phone rang, and it was Sasha over the internet giving me a call. So these drones or whatever it may be up in the atmosphere, they're then relaying the internet to these places where currently they don't have high speed internet, or maybe for some reason the infrastructure is unable to support it at that time.
And so, how else really would you be able to shop for anything on Prime Day and let everybody on Facebook know that you've done it, but for the fact that you have internet everywhere you go?
That's their intention, right? That's to be ready for next Prime Day.
See? There we go.
Yeah.
The Atari VCS console runs a custom Linux distro called Atari OS. If you backed the successful Atari VCS crowdfunding campaign last month, you might be pleased to hear that you're going to get more bang for your buck. Following criticism of its mediocre internal makeup, the Atari VCS console will now ship with 8 gigabytes of RAM by default in the games. The RAM bump is just one of several bits of new information revealed through a Q&A blog post from team newcomer Rob Wyatt, best known as the brains behind the original Xbox system. His more direct approach helps to wave away some of the vagueness and uncertainty that continues to surround the system. With close to $3 million raised in its Indiegogo campaign, the Atari VCS is now entering the difficult part, delivering a vile rebuff to journalists. The central cell of a Linux games console backed by decades worth of gaming heritage remains both unique and compelling. As previously announced, the Atari VCS will run a custom Linux-based OS and will provide the ability for users to install a regular Linux distro on the machine. Wyatt expands on this capability further in his Q&A, explaining, "Our core architecture consists of the Atari Secure Hypervisor and a heavily external storage device is checked, and if a bootable device is found, the other OS on that device is loaded instead. We don't have a typical OS loader like U-Boot or Grub, and because the CPU is already in 64-bit protected mode from our boot code, the other OS will need its typical startup code changing. Although Wyatt stresses that the changes are minimal, the company
looks like a retro gaming console from Atari. It looks like a 2600 or something like that.
This is going to play to the nostalgia in all of us.
But it's a 64-bit gaming machine with 8 gigs of RAM.
Huge!
Like, that puts it, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the PS3 was like nowhere near that. The PS4 is 8 gigs of RAM. And this is a different OS.
Right.
So if indie developers want to create their own games, create their own distribution for it, we're going to be able to see, like, they're developing it specifically so that that can be done.
That's a really cool idea that they've given a nod to, you know, indie game developers. Open source.
Linux.
We'll send us
that
one.
That would be good.
Please
hey, Atari.
Do. Hi, Atari.
Dear Atari, we love you and we have ever since the 2600.
It's true.
Please. Send us a VCS.
We will talk.
We'll unbox it.
We'll unbox it.
We'll caress it.
We'll do like a three-show series on it or more. It'll be great. Do it. Please.
Our address is below.
Oh, awesome. Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.
Thanks, Sasha. I'm Robbie Ferguson, and it's been a blast having you here this week. Please make sure you comment below. If you're watching on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. Subscribe to the videos that we produce here at Category 5 TV by subscribing to our channel, and you'll get the notifications every time we go live.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun, so you can join us live and be here with us. And if you're watching, wherever you're watching, if you're watching on cable TV or Roku, Kodi, Plex, you can head on over to our website, category5.tv, and comment on the video. This has been episode number 565. We look forward to seeing you next week.
Yes. Thanks. Except for me. I'll be in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. You're away.
I'm
She's away.
I'm away.
I'll be here. You'll be here. I'll see you then.